I don't need to tell you that Pacific Island countries are the most exposed and vulnerable to climate change and natural disasters. Efforts to adapt to climate change are critical, but they're also really costly. Some countries already have high and rising debt levels, which have been further exacerbated by the pandemic. And since climate change is primarily caused by emissions from larger, more developed countries, Pacific Islands are calling on those bigger countries to take financial responsibility. This is the sound of a canary. Coal miners used to use them as an early warning system for dangers in the mines.
We refuse to be the proverbial canaries in the world's coal mine. We want more for ourselves than to be helpless songbirds whose demise serves as a warning to others.
Pacific leaders like Fiji's Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama have had enough.
Fiji and the Pacific's demands are clear. The developed world must deliver on the $100 billion promised in climate finance.
While Pacific leaders are negotiating for climate action at Glasgow, back home in the South Pacific, they know they can't negotiate with the beginning of the cyclone season.
We're suffering.
That's Garth Henderson, Cook Islands Secretary of Finance.
We are the canaries in the coal mine. Help us adapt to the consequences of emissions that we didn't create.
In order to survive, Pacific countries need money.
Climate finance is the flow of finance to support developing countries in the Pacific to mitigate the impacts of climate change or to adapt to the impacts of climate change.
That's Tangaloa Cooper-Halo, Director of Climate Change Resilience at SPREP.
These are costs that have been imposed on Pacific countries through no action of their own, through no fault of their own. And therefore, it is important for the developed world who are responsible for increased emissions, that there is this responsibility to small developing countries to provide funding support for them.
Pacific countries see climate finance as a form of climate justice. Many people are afraid of what's going to happen to their land. Like Maina Talia, the secretary of the Tuvalu Climate Action Network. As sea levels rise, the low-lying islands of his home could vanish off the map. That's because the average height of islands in Tuvalu is less than 2 metres above sea level.
The Pacific Islands that are bearing the brunt of climate crisis must be compensated for the damage that they have already experienced and support to protect the people, the land and their culture from climate destruction.
Because, as Tangaloa Cooper-Halo explains, the urgency is now.
In Australia, you can stop, pause, play on the conversations around climate change. Well, in the Pacific, we don't have that luxury. And I think the reason why other larger countries like Australia have that luxury is because it's not at the doorstep of every man, woman and child. The threatened livelihoods, the coastal erosion, coastal inundation, saltwater intrusion that affects the water lens, that affects the water supply and food security. Australians don't meet those challenges day to day. Pacific do.
In 2015, talks in Paris really kicked off the Green Climate Fund when developed nations promised to raise $100 billion a year from 2020 to 2025 to support climate change adaptation and mitigation in vulnerable countries. But it's not as straightforward as you would expect. Red tape is making it hard for countries to easily access funds. Maina Talia again.
It's pretty difficult for countries like Tuvalu to access this kind of funding. It should be accessible. Getting all this process must be put into very simple strategies.
Garth Henderson in Cook Islands agrees.
And in countries like ours where data's poor, research is hard, you know, the step from financing towards implementation, particularly adaptation, takes a long time.
Developed countries need to ensure that the money works for developing countries, not just provide it as their contribution and walk away from that. Countries need just to make sure that the developing countries are able to access and not wait for a long time for reviews. The amount of back and forth that we go through is unreal. That said, a couple of our countries have access the funding.
With a cyclone season looming, rising sea levels and increasing debt, Garth Henderson says bills are continuing to stack up.
We have to look after our coastlines. We've got to build our bridges. We've got to build our drains. We've got to relocate villages from coastal areas into the interior. We've got to do that.
Maina Talia says that money is needed now for adaptation measures.
Basically, the first one is to provide seawalls to protect the whole islands. And secondly, to raise the elevation of the island, to protect our shorelines, protect our islands. Because literally, if we continue to protect our islands, simply we are also protecting our people to sustain not just as human beings, but also the cultural identity that attached to us and to our land.
Which is why he wants developed countries to act.
Countries like Australia, China, the US and so forth, they really need to step up. We understand that this is very political in a sense because of their economic reliance on fossil fuel. But this is something that they really need to look seriously into it, their climate actions, their moral responsibilities.
Garth Henderson is tired of Pacific countries not being listened to.
Every year we go and make the same complaints.
This year at COP26, Tangaloa Kupahelo says the money needs to be a priority.
You can't just adapt forever. This is a big COP. This is the deal breaker.
Tangaloa Kupahelo, the Director of Climate Change Resilience at SPREP, the Secretariat of the Pacific Regional Environment Program, ending that report that was compiled with production support from Talia Olatia.